Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Live on the Free Odyssey app.
Back on the fan on this Tuesday morning. We'll get back to your calls here, 888-808-1019. We're talking Mets, we're talking Soto, we're talking some Yanks. So, on the topic of Juan Soto, my buddy Will Salmon of The Athletic wrote an article today, BT. Where is the Soto shuffle gone? And there are some
where
quotes.
Where have you gone, Soto? There are some shuffle. Quotes.
So, I said I saw it on Sunday, and Will's right. He described it better than I did here. Whereas it was kind of like a half Soto shuffle on Sunday, where he stared at the pitcher. He gave you one of those. Mitchell Parker, I think, for the Nationals, came up and in on him, and Soto gave you one of those quick, like, mm-hmm. Semi shuffle.
Didn't sell it fully.
So there's some quotes in here from Soto. Let's get to it.
Okay.
This is Will Salmon's article here in The Athletic. After officially passing 1 month into the Mets season, The Athletic needed to know whether the shuffle is coming back. Soto, quote, "It's going to come out one day. It just depends. I just got to feel it." The follow-up question was, well, what would prompt the shuffle? What does it take? What do you mean you got to feel? Quote, "It takes a lot."
Very deep exchange. I just got to feel it.
Soto,
it's
going to come. You will see it. But I think there is an important part of this where, even in the minimal quotes, BT, where Soto clearly saying it's going to come out one day, it just depends. I just got to feel it. Yeah, well, that's the point, is that you can watch him and know that he's not feeling it. What it is, who knows? That leads to the speculation. Is he not feeling being a Met? Is he not feeling? Well, I don't. I'm just saying, like,
I got a theory. I got them.
But he's not feeling it. He admitted it. So we all said, "Where's the shuffle?" Will Salmon now doing reporting on it, and in those quotes, it'll come one day. It's just a lot goes into it. I just got to feel it. Well, okay. Well, why aren't you feeling it? Is it because he's struggling? And is he struggling because he doesn't have the confidence that a shuffle would give him? Like, and it sounds ridiculous that we're talking about the Soto shuffle, but I think it's a big I think it's a big deal. It's one of the first things that we were talking about as it pertains to Juan Soto, where he started not to look like himself.
I'd have to make a song. You ever hear the song Lito Shuffle?
No. Curly Shuffle, yes.
You don't know Lito? I guarantee Lito is... Hey, Dove or Zoo, just find that at some point. I'm going to call for it in a minute. I guarantee that it's a song that you've heard, but you don't know the actual title. I'm going to have to come up with... You had the Yankees, KKKKs.
Yes, like, Yankees.
Yankees.
We are the Yankees.
I'm going to have to come up with my own version of Soto Shuffle here. All right, couple of things here. Number one, I respect him not forcing it. Number one, it's my first reaction.
You respect him not forcing
it? Yeah.
But, dude, that's a part
I'm going to tell you why. To me, when he does that, every aspect of his professional universe is aligned. Physically, he feels unstoppable. Mentally, he's a step ahead of the pitcher. Everything is in sync. What he thought the pitcher would throw, he did. He saw it. He anticipated. He is right on it. And he knows And baseball's different. It's not like just being strong in football. Baseball, a lot has to be right for you to feel amazing in the box, where he just knows, like when he went deep in the playoffs with the Yankees in Cleveland, that no matter what you do, I'm going to see this pitch and I'm going to flick my hands and fire this in the third base dugout because I know that that's what you're going to do. And I know I can't square that ball up. But when you eventually do what I know you're also going to eventually do, I'm going to rock it 425 feet to dead center like he did. He's not feeling it because he's not fully there yet as a hitter.
Well, why not?
It's that simple.
Because hitting is hard. So now
it's not about being a Met.
But that's not an excuse.
Not about being a Met, Sal.
Hitting
is, not an excuse.
Hitting is hard for you and me. It's not for him.
Well, if it wasn't hard for him, why doesn't he hit 360 every year? Why doesn't anybody hit 360? Because it's hard.
He's arguably the best hitter in the game.
No,
like when
he's not.
What are you talking about? When he's on, he's one of the best offensive players in the sport.
One of. He's not Judge. Yeah. Don't need to Judge Soto. God, Judge is hitting 420, dude.
Yeah, I know. Aaron Judge is also not a 420 hitter.
Well, nobody is.
Yeah, okay.
Not even Ted Williams was.
But that's the point. So let's not, argue over semantics. Juan Soto, when you say, well, baseball is hard. Yeah, for us, it's not hard for them.
Yes, that's why it is hard for them.
That's not an excuse. That's a bullcrap excuse.
No, it's not. It's not an excuse. Hey,
baseball's hard.
No.
That's why Volpe can't hit, because baseball's hard.
No.
It's ridiculous.
Listen, when you look at it on a shallow interpretation, baseball's hard. Well, yeah. No kidding. I mean, if it wasn't hard, then we'd all be there.
Right.
Understood. But what makes it extra hard is the breakdown of mechanics, the stuff that the other pitcher has. Like, we have to incorporate this for Juan Soto. I don't think for a second that he's not feeling himself enough to do the shuffle because he misses the Yankees or he misses Judge or he's not feeling the Mets. I just think, however he got ready for the season, sometimes you start a season, bang, and it clicks. Like last year for Soto, and the opposite, Judge last year was the opposite. I'm sure Aaron Judge felt pretty, even though he missed a lot of time in the spring. I'm sure he felt pretty good when he started the season last year, okay? But he hit 190, for the first 15, 20 games, whatever it was. He didn't see it coming, and I'm sure he was a defeated, diminished version of himself inwardly. And when you feel that inwardly, it's tough to project alpha level all-time confidence when you don't feel it. It's much more deep than just saying baseball hard. That's just
I get it. Okay, fair enough. Bottom line is, he said it. Will Salmon got the quotes from him. He's not feeling it. It'll come out. You'll see it eventually. But right now, he's not feeling it. So the question is, why? Why is he not feeling it? He's not comfortable. He's not, what? Is he not having fun? Is he struggling? I've said he's struggling, but, oh, no, Steve Cohen, no, he's not struggling. Or everybody with the Mets, oh, no, how dare you criticize him? It's only been 20 games. Okay, well, maybe I was right and everybody else is wrong, because now Soto admits to not feeling it. Why is he not feeling it? That's what I want to know. I think that's the key. How does then he get to feeling it? Does it just all of a sudden he wakes up one day and says, oh, I feel like shuffling, or I'm feeling like myself again? Why isn't Juan Soto feeling like himself in the first 30 games of the season?
I really wish I had the answer for you.
Let me
ask you this. So there are days, now maybe the audience can't quite detect this, right? But I know, because you and I have been doing this for a long time, I guarantee there are days where you just feel better than other days.
100%.
Okay.
Happens in every day of life, even before doing a show like this. Whatever.
Correct. Yeah. But there's some days where no matter, every single thought that you're searching for comes right to you. Every syllable is fluid and it pops. And you're a combination of being, aggressive and funny. And the whole package is there. Like, you feel like the Babe Ruth of sports radio, right? When we're on our game, we've all been there. There's other days where you feel like, I missed that one. That was right away.
Okay.
How did I miss that one? It's called being a human being.
Understood, but it's been a full month.
It's a month. It's not hitting 170 like Bellinger.
No, but it's been a full month without that. It hasn't been a full month without the shuffle, but you get the point. Early on, the shuffle was there. Then it started to go away a little bit. So, and it hasn't been back in a while. That's, if he went without it for a week, nobody'd be talking about it. If he went without it for a few games, not a big deal. The fact that it's been a prolonged absence where he has not felt or been like himself, and it's also, to your point, he's not hitting 130. Like, He's had some good. Oh, he's hitting the ball hard. He's getting on base. Okay, well then, what's the issue exactly?
His ceiling is higher than somebody else. I mean, right now, he's certainly not vintage Soto, but he doesn't feel like himself, so he's not going to start dancing around in the dirt and making himself look like a fool. Would you rather?
I agree with you there.
Would you rather see him force it and then go 0-for-4 with two pop ups and a ground ball into a double play? No, I'd rather see him bust it out when he feels like it's time to bust it out.
But don't you think like it's just a mentality? Because for me, well, you could use our analogy. It's a little different. We don't have to physically go out there and hit a baseball.
Yeah, yep.
With him, it is. But I also believe the right mindset, like it all starts from the mindset.
I agree
with
that.
Whether it's a song you listen to in the morning that gets you going.
Or a pre-show meeting.
Whatever.
I agree.
But I'm saying for him, you get up, get your fit right, get your attitude right, get into that batter's box, and then you're feeling yourself.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to, well, I hit a home run, now I'm feeling myself. And by the way, he's hit a couple of home runs in the Minnesota series, and it's still...
Was he at now 2.5, or is it 3.5?
Yeah, 3.5 still. He's still stuck on 3.5, the almost home run, the other, you know, the last homestand. So it's not just, I don't think, a byproduct of the results. Something is off with Juan Soto's mentality to where he's not feeling himself.
I don't disagree with that. I think the real interesting root of it is why.
Point is, something is off with Juan Soto.
Yes.
He admitted it. We all know it, but now he admitted it to Will Sound and the Athletic, even in a limited exchange.
Mm-hmm.
You'll see it. Don't worry, it'll come out one day, but he's got to be feeling it. We get it. I get that. What's going to make him feel it, and why isn't he feeling it? That's the question. That's what I have to know. Chris is in Stanford. What's up, Chris?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. I'm a big fan of the show. I listen every day.
Thanks,
I want to chime in on the Soto. Thank you, guys. I want to chime in on the Soto topic. For me, you know, I want to rephrase the conversation a little bit. I'm a big Mets fan. I don't really care if he's happy or not. For me, the issue is I see once in a while a lack of effort and hustle. There was that game 2 weeks ago with bases loaded, one out. He grounded into the double play, and he didn't bust it down the line, and he was out at first. To me, it's things like that piss me off way more than if he's happy or not. What do you guys think about that?
Look, I haven't noticed, and thank you for the call, Chris, a lack of hustle. I mean, the play that comes to mind, obviously, is the pop-up that dropped the other day that led to the horrible loss on Sunday. But to me, that wasn't even a lack of hustle. It was a lazy-looking play where it didn't feel like... Now, remember, it was a 7-1 game, not excusing
him. The sun went as us?
Yeah.
I actually give him a pass on that.
Okay, fair enough. But still, like, there didn't seem to be the level of urgency or panic that you would like to see with an outfielder where he loses a ball in the sun, where it's, where the hell is it? Where the hell is it?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
That he played like cool and calm and was like, all right, yeah, whatever, no big deal. I don't think that it's a lack of effort or a lack of hustle with Soto, but it clearly is a lack of feeling himself right now. What makes Soto special in my mind is his confidence, is him feeling himself. The results aren't going to be there every single time, but this is a confident player, the ultra-confident player. It's why I love him so much. Where is that confidence? It's not there. He admitted to it by telling Will Salmon, I'm not feeling it.
But is it a lack of confidence due to a lack of results, or are the results a lack of confidence? Now, based on the I don't know either, but based on the numbers that I gave Sal in the first hour, where you look at his exit velo and his barrel rate, they're still, everything's in the 90th percentile. Again, not to water it down and geek it up too much with the numbers, but, you know, if he's in the 17th percentile of barrel rate, I'm okay. I can sit here and say he's not squaring up to baseball. That's on Juan Soto. But he has had some bad luck, not to make an incredible excuse, but the numbers are the numbers, and the data is what drives baseball at this point. Like, we no longer need to guess where a guy is. There are different types of 1-for-20s. You know, a Volpe 1-for-20 where he's flailing away and striking out 7 or 8, 9 times and, you know, really soft contact is different, or could be different, than a Judge 1-for-20 or a Soto 1-for-20. So there's always nuance there, and he's hitting the ball fairly hard. So I just think that it's a matter of time before they start dropping. And when they start dropping and the results are there, now I think you see the confidence.
Mike is in Allentown, PA. What's up, Mike?
Hey, guys. I just wanted to put my 2 cents in about the non-shuffling Soto. To me, it's simple. The New York Yankees are the New York Yankees. They do things their way. When guys hit and run around the bases and come home and they jump up and down and they high-five each other, the Mets don't do it the same way. Even if they did, it's not the look of the New York Yankees. It's plain and simple.
So you think he's not doing it because he's not on the Yankees? He did it with the Padres. The Padres aren't the Yankees.
No, I didn't say that.
It sounds like you said that.
I said.
Hmm.
No, no.
Okay.
The Yankees, okay, the New York Yankees are the New York, they do things their way. The Mets don't do it the same way as the Yankees. They never did and they never will, no matter how many, you know, games they win.
But who's to say it's better? I'm confused. So the Yankees do their thing, the Mets do theirs, but why is the Yankees better and why is Juan Soto still not being himself?
Again, I didn't say they were better. I said it's the way they do it. They do it as the Yankees.
Mike, I got to be honest, hold the respect, but you confuse me, and I'm really trying to, we're trying to understand your point. We're not. I don't understand what you're saying.
You're trying to say what, you're trying to explain why Soto is not doing the Soto shuffle.
Right. Correct.
Okay, and I'm saying it's got nothing to do with Soto being a Met. It's got the fact that when he was on the Yankees celebrated whatever play it was mm-hmm. on, you know.
And I'm saying that he also did the shuffle as a Padre and as a National.
Yeah, and the Mets also celebrate plays as well. So it and we appreciate the call, Mike, and thank you for your perspective on that.
Thanks, Mike. I didn't really get that.
Yeah, it's not, and you could say the Yankees do certain things their way, which is fine. And maybe his point was that Soto enjoyed being a Yankee more. Maybe that was just a weird way of trying to avoid saying it, but that's what he's thinking, because otherwise it doesn't make any sense. Soto, to your point, BT, was Soto in Washington and San Diego and with the Yankees. And yet with the Mets, we haven't seen that just yet. It's not a Met versus Yankee thing or that the Yankees celebrate a certain way and the Mets don't. The Mets were one of the more celebrated teams last year for the OMG stuff, the way that they made a whole thing out of it. Mm-hmm. They celebrate this year, and Soto, for whatever reason, isn't feeling it yet. And I want to know why.
Can somebody please, you have to do this. I mean, we go to Baseball Reference, we see all the stats of all the players. Can somebody please do a Soto shuffle count? I'm serious. From year one till now, I would love to see like what year he had the most shuffles. And I would love to see if there was a correlation to some of his better seasons having more.
I mean, who's going to break that down? You got to watch
somebody's going to jump on it. He's good at that stuff.
Break down every Yankee, every Soto at bat throughout the entire career.
Yes.
All right, we'll get more into the Yankee stuff. I have a question for you about Judge specifically, and also maybe we do a little Yankee lineup as well, BT, and we'll continue with the Mets conversation. We'll get to the Knicks later on, 888-808-1019.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. you'll see Progressive's direct rate. Then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide, or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball, the game's official home for games, is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
Let me hit you with one question before we get back to these Soto calls. Wrote this down yesterday and figured we could have a fun conversation with it. What do you think is the more impressive feat? 62 homers?
Mm-hmm.
Or if he were able to hit 400, Aaron Judge?
400.
Yeah, I mean, I'd probably lean that way too. But, I mean, let's not minimize 62 home runs and what that means, 62 or more, cleanly.
Yep.
I know, like, you know, batting average is a thing in the past. 400, 409 was always a great thing to be able to chase, or just even hitting 400, whether it was Tony Gwynn or John Olerud.
Dykstra had a little flirtation with the Phillies that way. I forget what year it was, whatever.
But if Judge could ever, I mean,
maybe he does both.
All right, well, let me ask you this.
you never know.
I wouldn't be shocked.
Yeah, I would be.
What about 390?
Like George Brett in 1980.
Okay.
He had 390 on the button.
More impressive, 62 homers or three. You get the point here.
I would say, given the time that Brett did it, 1980, not that there weren't great pitchers. If we had Carlton, Nolan, Ryan still in their prime, come on. But I just think the way hitting philosophies are now espoused, number one, nobody's really in a mental frame to chase high average because they're chasing exit velo, which equates to distance, right? So I think philosophically it would be counterintuitive to what's taught now, which would surprise me. I also think when you go to 1980, I mean, George, yeah, you had Goose and you had a couple good relievers, but I mean, come on, you got to the bullpen. You either faced a tired starter who you saw, you know, three times and had diminished stuff after 105 pitches in the seventh or eighth inning, or you saw, you know, a relief arm that wasn't good enough to be a closer before you actually saw the closer. They weren't pumping 95. Those guys were throwing 90, 91. Right. So I would think, Sal, to me, it's not to diminish the 62. It's to really anoint, for me, what 400 would be. That would be by far, for me, the greater accomplishment.
Yeah, I mean, I still just think it's minimum. I mean, we make it seem like, well, it's easy for Judge to hit 62, and, you know, because he's such a prolific home run hitter, and because of what the steroids did to tarnish the home run record, I think that really ruined it more than anything else. Imagine if we went from 1961 to 2022.
Yeah.
Clean all
those
years. Well,
George Brett hit 58 for the Reds. You know, you'd have to incorporate some of the guys who came kind of close.
George who?
George Foster.
Yeah.
I think he hit 57 or 58 that year.
But imagine.
There were a couple guys in the neighborhood.
Right, but imagine going from 61 to 2022.
Yep.
Clean, nobody touching the record. Imagine what that would have been like with the Judge pursuit.
That's a good point.
To whereas now it feels like, because, I mean, we lived through 98 and what that was like, it would have been even greater if it were Judge doing it, another Yankee, and doing it, you know, years later. I mean, it's over 20 years later, over 20 years later since 98. So it would have been even more impactful. But because of what McGuire did and Bonds and Sosa, I think that just kind of tarnished the home run record for good. And even when Judge did do it cleanly, it was still like, that's great, but he's not the real home run champ. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, obviously Bonds with 73 and Sosa in the 60s a bunch of times. I mean, yeah, I chose to dilute their accomplishments, not because it's Judge.
Right.
I diluted their accomplishments long ago. But I hear you. I mean, they still did it. We still saw most of those guys do it. And maybe were we a little desensitized to the long ball when Judge did it? I tried not to be. I mean, to me, it was incredibly captivating. But I hear you on that. But I would also say this, Sal. I think the better way to look at it, that I choose to look at it, like, take all the players that we believe to be clean. You think Pete Alonso's clean?
Yeah.
I do, too. Pete hit 53 home runs. That's not 62, but it's 53.
Right, you're saying, where are the hitters that...
Think about the George Foster. Dove, can you look that up? I just want to make sure that he had 50s. I keep saying 58. Maybe I'm off on that. I think it was in the 70s, obviously, before he came to the Mets. Either way, George had a very, very big season. I'll get that in a minute. But how many guys... since 1970 have hit 390.
So Gwynn,
or 381 or 379. Like, what I'm saying is there's, I think, and I can't prove this, I'm doing this on the fly. I didn't know you were going to ask me this, but it's a fun conversation.
Yeah.
I think my first instinct is there are more players who snipped 60 home runs than hitters who snipped 400.
Right. I
you 52 probably, for George Foster. Thank you.
I'm just looking at the
What year was that, Zoo? 77. Thank you, bud.
Tony Gwynn hit 394 in 1994, but that was obviously
half a season.
Shortened season.
Yep.
I'm trying to look at more modern numbers here. Ted Williams hit 406. I said 409 before. 406.
406.
In 1941.
Okay, well, Gwynn had a massive year where he hit 350-something. Boggs hit 350-something. Oh, Olerud was up there.
Yeah.
But,
maybe fell off a little bit.
He did.
Whatever the second half of that year was. I'm trying to find a clean spot to where I can look at this, but a lot of these are.
I'll help you out here. I'm very curious.
2000, Nomar Garciaparra hit 372.
Are you serious? I don't
know. Todd Helton in 2000 also hit 372.
That's Coors Field.
Yeah. 2004, Ichiro. He was one that I want to look
yes,
at.
Yes, Ichiro.
372 in 2004. Yeah, I mean, look, I knew that you were going to answer that Joe Mauer hit 365 in 2009.
I remember that. I remember that with the Twins. They were always playing the Yankees in
Maglio,
the postseason.
Maglio Ordóñez hit 363
Max.
In 2007.
What about Miggy? Miggy had to have something in that neighborhood.
Boggs hit 363 in 1987.
I loved Boggs. Boggs was awesome.
2004, Bonds, 362. Again.
Chipper had a big season one year, didn't he?
Piazza,
like, really big.
It's not giving me the, it's giving me the highest, I'm looking up highest averages, so it goes in average as opposed to year order.
Okay.
I don't think there's any
I got something here. Pujols hit 357. Wow, this is, I don't remember this as much. Darren Erstad hit 355 in 2000. Listen, whatever the hell was going on in 2000, because Moise Alou hit 355, Darren Erstad hit 355.
Well, 350, so 350 is great, especially for now. And for Judge, if he ever hit 350, it'd be an incredible year. But the real, like, historic thing, you got to get over 370, I would think. Into the 400s is where you're starting to make history.
Over three, I mean, I got to push back. I mean, why can't you accept 350 as the barometer?
Say it again.
Why can't you accept three? Like, why does it have to be 370?
No, I mean, 350 is good. It's great. No, let me rephrase it. 350 would be great, especially in today's game.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't look at it as, you know, it's not 62 home runs.
I know, but.
In your mind, where's the cutoff to, okay, well, 62 home runs in a regular season is a greater accomplishment. For me, it's got to be so at least 370. Like, if you hit 370 or better, maybe that's the greater accomplishment than 62 homers.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe even higher than that, maybe 380.
Well, I think it depends. If you're like Luis Arraez, I still can't say this guy's name, whatever his name is.
Arraez,
It's 330 every year. I still can't say his name. And you hit 9 home runs.
Okay.
You know, like, so to me, my point is, like, if Judge were to hit 352 with 48 home runs, would you rather have that or, you know, 409 with 21 home runs?
Right.
I'll take the numbers from Judge if it came to that.
Well, that's a monster season, understood. But I'm talking about historic. When we're talking about chasing 400.
He'd win the Triple Crown if that's the case.
Understood. But I'm saying chasing 400 versus chasing the home run record. That was really the gist of the conversation.
I know. I still think it's more impressive to hit to chase 400 and harder.
Right.
I do.
I can, especially in today's day and age. All right, BT and Sal on the fan. Charlie's in Bethpage. What's up, Charlie?
Hey, good morning, BT and Sal. How we doing?
Johnny, what's happening, man?
Good. And Sal, my pleasure with your family, too.
Thank you,
Sal.
Charlie. We appreciate that. Thank you.
And I do remember that call that night to your brother-in-law, and I would have punched you in the head if you were my brother.
But
I
with the TV?
Was making me laugh that night.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I what do you mean? I'm the bad guy? He's the one who had the broken TV, and he lied to me.
I think it was hysterical. Great call. Great radio. But Soto thing, listen, you know how I feel about Soto. Listen, Lindor, Alonso sit in the beginning of that lineup. And we're losing like last year, we'd be burying him. Mm-hmm. We'd be burying the Met organization. Right now, the numbers are good. They're playing well. The Mets are showing up to the stadium. Everything's going well. I'm still not happy. Vientos and Nemo was batting under 220. Now, I'm hoping yesterday's game holds them over because Nemo was on that high fastball, and he was whacking the ball yesterday. So I'm hoping yesterday it gets the Vientos, and Nemo going forward. McNeil was a big punch yesterday. So going forward, it's great. I was not happy with Sunday's loss. That was brutal.
But they moved.
We're in a good place right now.
That's exactly
we're
right, Charlie.
We're in a very good place.
And thank you for the kind words, and thank you for taking the time to call, as always. Charlie made me think of something there, though, BT, right? When we talk about Soto and him not feeling it, the Soto shuffle, all that stuff. Everything else is going well. Where the Mets are in first place, they have the best record in baseball. So is this a selfish thing for Soto that's not feeling it? Why isn't he having more fun or able to be more of himself or feeling it when the vibes around the entire team, you can't have better vibes playing at Citi Field in front of the Met fans that have gone out there. They've been near perfect at home. They're winning on the road. Everybody's, you know, contributing. What is the problem with Juan Soto right now? What do you think is the issue here for why he's not feeling it? I mean, one thing, if the Mets are struggling, and he would be getting ridiculed and criticized and all that stuff way more.
Yeah. That would be story number one.
Don't you think that it's he should be able to feel it a little bit more when everything is going well around him?
Yeah. But there's, I mean, yes, you, I think the worst thing, whether it's from a lower level kid's perspective, yeah, all the way up to the bigs, when your team's doing well, but you're not, and you're not happy for your teammates, that's an awful look. I don't see that from Soto, but I also don't see the energy where he's vibing. And is he not vibing because he's not personally doing well? I don't know. But what was the question and what was the answer in both in 2022 when he hit 246? What was the question in 2023 when he hit 275? Like, that's the one thing that I've, for the whole year with the Padres, that's the one thing that I always said for the for Soto. And by the way, as good as he was with the Yankees, the power and all the other, hit 288, didn't hit 302.
Oh, understood, but I'm not worried about just the batting average. What was his OPS those years?
No, they were monster. For the most part, they were monster. Maybe the one, let me just check, the one 2022.
Because it's not just the batting average that's down.
Understood. I get that part. 2022, they're not giving me the...
Yeah, on base 408.
I don't know why.
401 on base. I'm looking at it right now.
But 2020, yeah, the one that I'm on, they don't have the split. Like, oh, they just have splits. 2022, I see Nationals and Padres. I don't see.
He dropped with the Padres, one. It was 388. With the Nats, it was 408. So overall, it was 401.
Okay. What about the OPS? 894 and 778?
Yeah. OPS total was
885?
853.
Okay.
And 930.
Okay, no, again, but the 853 is not the 990 that he did a year ago, or the 1185 that he had in 2020, or the 949 that he had in 2019. All I'm saying is this is not to diminish him. It's to further contextualize his career. And I said this over the winter. I stand by it. He is amazing in what he's amazing at. And because of that, I think for some, there's been a bit of an elevation of some of the other things that he does. He's not a Tony Gwynn 320, 330, 340 guy like Boggs. He's on base all the time. He's got great plate discipline, but he's also had some years where you're like, that's a little low for a guy who's supposed to be either unstoppable or machine or, you know, generational, whatever. That's why I push back a little bit. Having said that, I don't think he looks as bad as some of you think. I think the numbers support that. And I think he's hit the ball hard for the most part. I'd like to see some more energy. I think it's going to come soon.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sarah. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
We were talking positively about the Mets, and all I was saying was that the one thing that's preventing me from being all in excited about this team is Soto, because he hasn't done his part yet, and that was the thing I was looking most forward to coming into this year, but it's turned into the Soto Show as usual. Anytime we bring up his name, he is the lightning rod.
The Soto Show or the Soto Shuffle?
Yeah, the Soto.
It's really become the lack of Soto.
Well, and also we were talking about it. Will Salmon of The Athletic wrote an article today as well, finding out where that Soto Shuffle is. He says it's going to come. Just now he's not feeling it. Okay, Joe is in Clark, New Jersey. Joe?
What's up, gentlemen? How you guys doing today?
Good. What's up, Joe?
Hey, Joe.
What's up, bro? I agree with you 100%, bro. I feel exactly the same way. Everybody's like, "Oh, Joe, you're 29. Be happy." I'm happy, but I want my guy to start hitting. I can sign Luis Arraez to get a couple singles once in a while, get a double here and there. I mean, I want him to be Cespedes, man. I want him to be the alpha male to come in and carry us like Cespedes did. That's what I'm asking for. This guy, I mean, the reason why he's not doing the shuffle, guys, his confidence is gone. Wait, that was his mantra, bro. That was his self-belief.
Joe, hold on. Why is his confidence gone? It's like he started the year 1-for-19.
I don't know. He started in spring training. He came out hitting home runs all over the place. He had the shuffle going. He had the shuffle in Houston, and then it stopped. It went away, and I feel like that's like cutting Samson's hair off. That's a part of who he is. That
right.
shuffle. That's what made him the hitter he was. The cockiness, the self-belief. That's like, this is my strike zone. I'll tell you when it's a strike. Okay?
Joe, you just nailed it, and thank you for the call. If you were to ask me, BT, what is my favorite thing about Juan Soto? It's his confidence. It's not his average. It's not his walk rate or his on-base percentage or his OPS. The reason why I love Juan Soto and wanted him so badly is his confidence. That's his superpower to me, and it is one of his superpowers, but it's to me the primary thing. It's why I loved Matt Harvey back in the day more than anybody. Harvey was my guy because of that confidence. Soto has that confidence. Obviously, the numbers to back it up and the ability to back it up, but without that confidence, it's not Juan Soto. Where is it? That to me is the biggest issue here. Not just that he's hitting 250 or whatever it is that he's hitting to start the year.
But hold on. It's not like he does the Soto shuffle all the time, even when he's in the middle of a hot streak. He generally is a little selective, picks his spots, you know. It's if he was doing it every night and he just suddenly abandoned it, I'm like, ooh, that's kind of a rough look here. Listen, the shuffle will return. We all know that. And the shuffle will return when his mind and his body is in as detailed a sync as you could possibly have. He's just not there. Now, I could tell you he's not there. I can't tell you why.
Right.
But I could promise you that it's going to return. We got to wait a little bit.
We could speculate as to why. I mean,
we have.
When he, like, we could also speculate as to if he's not feeling it or not, but now we know he's not feeling it. That's the words out of his mouth, according to Will Salmon in The Athletic. Juan Soto isn't feeling it. The Soto shuffle will come, but he's got to be feeling it. Okay. So now the question is, why? Why is he not feeling it? And I think it's fair to speculate many different reasons. I don't think it's because he's unhappy with the Mets, but could it be because he's pressing? Could it be new surroundings and getting familiar with things?
Well, what else could it be? I would agree that I'm not prepared to say that he's unhappy that he's a Met. I think that that's unfair. I think that that's early.
Yeah.
So I'm going to even, to be fair to everybody, I'm pushing that aside. He's not confident? Okay. He's pressing? Okay. Is there another one? I mean, there's only so many theories that it could be.
Why?
Anything else?
Why would somebody who was an otherwise supremely confident person and player, why would he lose his confidence? And why
because
are you not?
The brain is wildly powerful and wildly unpredictable.
But why are you not? Why are you not feeling? You just got paid a boatload of money.
I know. Maybe that's the answer.
The confidence, but the confidence was there the first week of the season or so. He had the Soto shuffle going.
Yeah, yeah.
Something happened along the way over the course of the first couple of weeks, maybe, and maybe it was even just the second series of the year, something happened where he started to lose some of that confidence and lose some of what made him so special, and I don't know what it is.
Listen, I'm going to give you my theory. He wanted to have an initial moment as early as possible.
The
right?
hater thing?
Yeah, but not that, maybe that was the origin.
Okay.
And then I think there were a couple of times in Miami where he had, remember that extra inning game that was wild where Vientos made that weird play at third base? Remember there was a lot of weird things that was an odd game. And I think he grounded out double play late in that game or grounded out with a ghost runner or whatever it was. He was trying to crack through and have his first big Mets moment.
Mm-hmm.
And he wanted it so bad, which we could all understand and all respect here. And as it proved elusive, again, because baseball is not easy, I think he just got a little tighter. And I think he got a little more, he started to chase that feeling a little bit more. But I do think he's getting out of it because he's starting to hit the ball better now.
Yeah, and he gave you a little bit of that attitude the other day. That's why I think it's important where you saw that against the Nationals. It may not have been the full-blown Soto shuffle, but at least it was in there. It was like, oh, the beast just woke up a little bit.
I was looking at some now. They have a compilation, various compilations of Soto shuffles from look at how low he is. That's in the World Series.
Yeah,
look at the Nationals.
Yeah, that's
what Sal wants, right?
Yes, that's the bleep you shuffle there.
That is, look at him.
The lower he gets, the better it is. Oh, I'm on you. But you got a little taste of it on Sunday. It was, there's the beast. There's my guy. He started to come out of it a little bit. I think it also is fair to speculate to say that the scrutiny is maybe denting the confidence or the feel a little bit. Meaning that article that Puma came out with or the Post, Soto got a lot of flack for that.
Mm-hmm.
Right or wrong, you know, the talk about missing Judge, whatever.
Yep. But he didn't look right before that. He didn't look quite the same.
Right, but still,
with the shuffle.
I'm sure that type of scrutiny and talk doesn't do anybody any favors.
True.
I honestly think maybe the fact that he's getting, you know, sympathetic cheers, where it's like, hey,
almost like pathetic, like, come on, buddy.
Yeah, like, Soto's not a guy that needs that, like, he's a guy that, no, I know I don't deserve these cheers yet. I'm going to get you those cheers. Just give me a little bit to get going. I don't know if that hurts his confidence a little bit. Wouldn't hurt if you're in a mental funk and you know you're scuffling a little bit and you know you're not living up to the contract or doing all that you can, and then you get the encouraging cheers. Some people could, I know me, I'm like, no, I don't want to hear it. I don't need the words. I know I'm struggling here. I'll work myself out of it. Leave me alone.
Mm-hmm.
I'll find myself. Like, just, I don't want to deal with it. I don't want to hear the, oh, it's going to be okay. I don't want to hear that stuff. And maybe that's a little part of it. Again, total speculation here. But
to me, I remember saying this to you when that was brought up here.
Yeah.
I think you could have an adverse impact. I really do.
Yeah.
Now, the intentions are well, they're pure. Like with Trey Turner down in Philly and anybody else here, I'm sure maybe Yankee fans at some point do it for Devin Williams. You know, I mean, it's going to happen.
I don't know about that.
Yeah,
but yeah.
No, he looked a little bit better last night, but he's not the closer anymore, as we know, and rightfully so. Although I'll give Boone credit for pulling the plug. I didn't think that he would right away. Anyway, I think when you are that level, nothing, well, we can't relate to that. We can only assume that I think that those pity cheers, and I could frame it softer, but I just want to keep it moving. I think that would make me press to do even more. Not because I wouldn't feel disrespected, but I would feel like, man, it would amplify in my own mind how I'm not doing my job. And knowing me and my wirings, I would try to do more and more and more and more. And knowing me, I would do worse and worse and worse.
Yeah. Now, with all that being said, the Mets still have the best record in baseball, the first team to 20 wins, almost everything going the Mets' way, except for Juan Soto so far. And we return home tonight and maybe get a little home cooking going.
Another
maybe
big crowd, week. I would imagine. Going to be hot out there, sunny.
I would think so. Go take it on a good team with the Diamondbacks, see if Soto could get it going. All right, BT and Sal on the Fan. We'll return with your calls, down with the King topic of the day as well, 888-808-1019.